This is ISU head men's basketball coach Dan Muller. You're listening to the voice of all things Redbirds, AM 1230, WJBC, and WJBC.com.
The Dan Muller Show on the Country Financial Redbird Radio Network is brought to you by Country Financial Representative Steve Peterson and Melissa Eisenberg, Miller Lite, and your host, High Beam Market Thrill.
Yes, from three.
Redbird Basketball on The Voice, 1230 WJBC and WJBC.com. Here's the voice of the Redbirds, Dick Ludtke.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Dan Muller Show. We are at the Market Grill here at High V in Bloomington. The Dan Muller Show brought to you by Miller Lite and by Country Financial Representatives Melissa Eisenberg and Steve Peterson. I'm Dick Ludtke. My co-host Mike Matthews is here, as is our engineer Nick McClintock. Blake Haas is our producer back at our studios at WJBC. The Illinois State Basketball Redbirds rolling along pretty well right now. Dan Muller, 5 wins in a row, your longest winning streak of this season, and a 4-0 start in the Missouri Valley. That's the best in 9 years. It's all about the defense right now.
It is all about the defense. It's all about the players playing together and being coachable and sacrificing for each other and having great practices and sharing the ball. And then it's all about the defense. We have been – I didn't – at the beginning of the year, I thought we'd be very good. I liked our versatility. I liked our physicality. I liked our experience. But I didn't know if we could be this good defensively to this point for this stretch. I mean, having a game or two like this is one thing, but having 8 or 9 like we put together and then continuing to come to practice, I kind of keep showing up for practice and hoping they keep having great attitudes, and we talk about a lot of things. We do a lot of mental work with our team, but they sure are fun to watch defensively. I'm serious. I enjoy watching them, our players, play defense, especially on game night. So we plan on keeping it up.
But you were a great defensive player in college, so you kind of know what you're expecting and what to watch. As casual fans watch the team play, what kinds of things can we look for to see that, boy, they're playing good defense tonight, or they've shut it down? Or
well, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into forcing teams to shoot low percentage. But I would say just basically, if teams aren't getting the ball to the paint with dribble, pass, or offensive rebounding, you're doing a good job. Now, what goes into that, a lot of things start with on the ball defense. A lot of times the next is your ball screen defense, because there's so many of those, and that takes 5 guys, not just the 2 on the ball. But it goes into the gaps, and it goes into your communication, your switching. So I would say a loud court, a court where it doesn't look like there's a lot of lanes to drive, a court when there's any penetration, there's help, a court where every shot is contested. And that is the final piece of it, other than rebounding. And you can't contest every shot if you have rotations and breakdowns. So stopping the ball, getting it picked up, keeping it out of the paint, and then contesting every shot.
Yeah, good offense is easy to watch. Good defense, a lot of times you know it's good, but you're not sure why. And it's
well, we talk a lot about playing fast because we have really good speed 1 through 5, and even when we come off the bench. And so we want to play fast at all times on the court, under control on the offensive end. But our speed can make up for mistakes. You know, we tell the team at almost any time, communication and effort will make up for mistakes. Not just one or the other. You have to have both, because if there's a mistake, then there has to be communication or you won't know what you're doing. And we've worked really, really hard on a lot of things, but our communication right now, defensively and offensively, because you can talk on offense, is one of the greatest strengths we have as a team.
Well, communication, an important part of any team sport, and that's certainly true of basketball. Speaking of defense, our player guest, Tony Wills, will be here about 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, he knows a little something about defense.
He knows a little bit about it, and so we'll talk to him about that and many, many other things.
And the interesting thing about Tony Wills, I hope he's not listening, is he's not overly big, he's not overly strong,
he's
not overly quick.
Yeah.
But what makes him such a good defender?
Well, there's about six or seven things that I think make you great defensively, and Tony's got almost all of them. It starts with the desire and the mentality. Then you go to these things. You have good feet laterally. And Tony's got very good feet laterally. Do you have length to you? Do you have quick hands? Can you get around screens? Do you have some speed to fight around screens? And then a lot of it goes to, do you understand offensive attacks? game plan, scouting reports, and can you see things and react? And, you know, Tony checks almost all those boxes. The last one is kind of physicality, and he's not the strongest guy, but he's stronger than he looks. So quick feet, speed to get around screens, want to, desire, toughness, strength, and, again, as I said, knowing the scouting report, understanding situations, seeing things before they happen, you have to have that. And Tony's always been a kid who naturally knows where to be on the defensive end. And as he's gotten older, you know, you see every action. I mean, there's not much Tony or Parrish, Deontay, Mikhail haven't seen, and then knowing what's going to come before it happens.
Many people have said that your defense is as strong as its weakest link.
Mm-hmm. So that'd be the head coach.
Okay. But you're not too weak in that area,
well, I guess
right?
Not. Right now I'm not.
Right
I wasn't.
Now you're not, yeah.
I was at the beginning of the year.
But you said it. You got players who some fans might not think of as defensive specialists or strong on the defensive end are playing well for you on that end this year.
Well, I have. We've talked about that a little bit. What's happened with our team this year, and it speaks to the culture and how much they like each other, because what I'm about to say doesn't happen unless there's a really tight group of guys. You know, every coach teaches and stresses defense, and we were okay. I mean, before we went on this streak, we were holding teams to right about 42%, which is not terrible, but not great. And from the beginning of the year, Tony Parrish and Deontay were our best defenders. And we worked on it. They started to understand how important it was, which I know that sounds weird, but every year you have to remind them and teach them. We started getting guys jumping on board, Mikhail, Keyshawn, you know, DJ and Phil kept growing. It's come to a point now, and Luke Yaklich, you know, kind of pointed this out to our team about a week ago. There's some peer pressure now, and they don't want to be the guy that's not guarding. And when you get to the point to where there truly is peer pressure, not just peer pressure, but truly guys who care about not wanting to let their teammates down, not wanting to be the guy who breaks down on the scouting report, not wanting to be the guy who's not there for the help, that's when your team's really good. Now, when you put eight or nine guys like that, you know, because you can have three or four or five, but when you get eight or nine guys like that, and right now I think we have eight. We're working on getting a ninth and tenth. But that's when, at least so far, that's when you have a chance to be great defensively.
How about when you go out recruiting and you see a kid, can you evaluate how good a defensive player is? Because if he's their scorer, he's not going to get in foul trouble.
Right.
He's not going to. Is that tough to evaluate more so than a good offensive player?
You know, you can evaluate shot blockers. Parrish Lee, you can see the great ones. Parrish Lee was great at getting turnovers, quick hands, forcing steals. I thought when we recruited him, he would be one of the best defenders in our league. And he's proven to be. I would not say I knew if Tony Wills would be. Again, shot blockers, you can see. Rebounders, which is part of defense, you can see. But I do believe this. I believe in, like, you know, the older you get, the more you learn, the more experiences you have. I think that there's not many guys, if you have enough players to hold them accountable with playing time, that I can't get to be an above-average defender over time. And with some athleticism and understanding. So athleticism goes into it, but it's not the most important thing. But the truth is there's just not very much defense, whether it's the high school level or the junior college level. It's apples and oranges.
This is the Dan Muller Show. We are here at the Market Grill at Hy-Vee. Again, it is brought to you by Miller Lite and by Country Financial Representative Steve Peterson and Melissa Eisenberg. We'll have another segment here with Coach Muller, and then after that we'll visit with Tony Wills. I do want to remind you of a big event coming up later on this month for Illinois State University Athletics, a night with Doug Collins. It's on Friday the 20th, so that's coming up. It's a week from this coming Friday, 5:30 to 9, at the Doubletree by Hilton in Bloomington. We celebrate Doug's induction into the National Collegiate Basketball Hall of Fame. Tickets $100 per person. The registration deadline is coming up this Friday, the 13th. And so make your reservations through either goredbirds.com or the Redbird ticket office line number, which is 438-8000. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with more here on the Dan Muller Show after this on WJBC and WJBC. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Dan Muller Show at the Hy-Vee Market Grill as we talk Illinois State Redbird basketball. The next action for the Birds is Wednesday night at Southern Illinois. The Salukis playing very well within the conference so far. We'll talk with Dan about them here in a little bit. And then the next home game is Saturday evening. Wichita State will be at Redbird Arena. As we speak, the Shockers and the Redbirds are the two remaining unbeatens in the Missouri Valley Conference. Whatever happens on Wednesday, that'll be a huge game on Saturday, and we hope to see you there at the 7 o'clock start. By the way, we're on the air at 6 o'clock for that game and at 6 o'clock for the game from Carbondale on Wednesday night. Dan, one more thing about defense. You talked about the challenge of motivating your players to play defense, and obviously you guys have done that successfully, and I love hearing what you said about what Coach Yaklich said recently in a practice, that they're all feeling accountable to one another. But the college basketball player likes attention, likes to be on television, loves to be part of a highlight on ESPN.
Right.
There has never been a 30-second shot clock violation as a highlight on ESPN.
Right. But we've had a bunch of them recently, haven't we?
Yes. I wish ESPN would show a couple of them.
Yeah, they would take up the whole hour.
Unfortunately, timing is important there, yes.
Yeah, the sexy thing in basketball is scoring, dunks, highlight plays, and certainly our guys want to be a part of all those things, although we are very unselfish on the offensive end. And so there's got to be great defensively. Again, you have to have total buy-in from your players. And that's a credit to our players and our assistant coaches, because there's every coach in the country that talks about defense. Every coach in the country does defensive drills. Every coach in the country threatens players' playing time about defense. And there's varying degrees on how much you emphasize those things, and some are better than others, of course, how much time you spend in practice. But in the end, your players have to buy in, and not just buy in because they're told to, but buy in because they want to. And my job as a head coach, and I learned this a few years ago, comes down to basically one thing. It comes down to my job is to get the players to want to do what I want them to do. It's not for me to get them to do what I want them to do. I have to get them to want to do it, even though it's hard. It's against human nature a lot of times. And I think that's where we're at right now. Our players want to do the hard things to be great defensively.
Yep. Well, congratulations on getting that done.
You know, season's young.
That's right. I was just going to say, hopefully it continues starting Wednesday night in Carbondale against Southern Illinois. You alluded to it earlier. The last piece of playing defense is getting the ball after they miss the shot.
Right.
But you've done well in that area, too. And that I remember you saying early in the season that you were wondering how good a defensive rebounding team you'd be.
Yeah, and I'm not really happy with where we're at. We've been fine. I think we're at 74% right now. And I think, in the general, you get to 76, 77% defensive rebound.
That's really good.
That's really good. But I think that's where we should be. We have been, again, especially last game, we've been a good, solid offensive rebounding team. Our numbers are pretty good. But we've got to do a better job finishing off possessions. You know, as good as our defense has been, there's certainly areas, of course, you can always get better at. And that is one of them. I'm not dissatisfied with where we're at defensive rebounding, but I really think we have some room for improvement.
How about evaluating players defensively? Do you have a report card for them, or do they know how they perform at Indiana State, at Southern Illinois, at?
You know, every team has different ways to do that. And you call grading film a lot of, at least that's what the coaches I know call it. And we've done different things since I've been here. You can chart everything, deflections. We do chart deflections in games. We give them some stats before the next game as far as deflections, rebounds, and passing stats. Contested shots is something we chart very specifically, and we show them those numbers. But the biggest thing we do is we make a clip tape after every tape. I don't know what it's called anymore, because originally when I got into coaching, it was a tape. Well, there's no more tape, right? But I still call it a clip tape or a whatever.
That means more to me.
Yeah, right. Well, a video, I guess. And so we show goods and bads. Offensively and defensively, after every game, before the next practice. And they get as much out of it, out of watching the goods, as they do the bads. I mean, you don't just want to reinforce negative behavior with showing only bads. You want to talk about why these things are good. But we'll clip out everything that we really think is critical, or all the major violations, and then we can break that down and show it to them, and then go on the court with it.
The league, I think people perceived that the league would be down a little bit because so many great seniors left the league last year.
pretty good newcomers.
Yes. You have a couple of them, and other teams have some very good ones as well. So how do you evaluate the overall strength of the league this year versus last?
Well, if you look at our RPIs, and that's one category you can go by, you know, analytically, we only have one team that's outside the top, I think, 180. And that's by far the best that our league's been since I've been here. Now, we don't have, I think we're in the mid-40s right now or the low-40s. I'm not sure where. You know, obviously Wichita State, Northern Iowa a couple years ago, Wichita State most years, you know, other than last year, has been up there. But I'm actually very satisfied with where our league is this year. Now, I was with the masses. I was worried because I want our league, I want every team in our league to be the best they can be, and then I just want us to be the best for those. So we have a number of good, solid teams. Are any of us great? You know, we had too many slip-ups in the non-conference to say we are great yet. Now, I think we have a chance to be, and we're on our way. Certainly Wichita State has shown that they can be very good and had some good wins in the non-conference. Missouri State, obviously, had played well. But I like our league. And I also think if you look into the future, not that that matters, but I think our league is going to sustain a pretty high level. Obviously, the important thing at the end of the year is, can we get two teams in?
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if we can right now. There's a chance. But
well, part of that is just whether the team that's the highest in the RPI loses at the tournament.
Well, certainly that's the way you can get it done unless there's two of them. If you look at the RPIs as of right now, I would say we would have the only chance of doing that. So hopefully we get that done. Obviously, the only thing that matters right now is we had a good practice today and another good one tomorrow, and then old Southern Illinois coming up home Wednesday.
But you mentioned 9 of the 10 teams 180 or higher in the RPI. There does seem to be very good balance in the league this year. How do you compare the balance of the league? I just look forward to every game and think, man, I'm not sure the Redbirds are going to win this one.
Right.
There's no game that we've gone to yet in the Missouri Valley thinking, yeah, this is probably a victory. So, but I want to have you compare the balance in the league and that mindset going into every game versus when you played in this league.
As a player, you're completely clueless to all those things. I mean, sure, I'll tell you. When I was a player, I thought we were winning every game.
Yeah.
And now as a coach, I'm not sure what games we're going to win. But that's more a coach versus player than how good the league is. Truly, as a player, now you get older, you have a little bit of perspective, but it's funny because you go and eat scouting report and you expect your returners to remember these guys from last year or whatever. And sometimes they remember the best players, but even that, it's all brand new. It really is. And then I could still remember a little bit as a player. And it was the same way for me. You know, you go into the next game, you just played the team 3 weeks ago, and heck, you remember the best players, but you don't remember the other guys or what they do in some ways. Now, when you remind them or you show them what they do, there's recall. And that helps with experience. But I don't know. I think college basketball in general is completely different now than in 1997 and 98. There's way more parity.
Yeah.
You know, there's more really good mid-majors than there were then. And they get more credit and more publicity because of TV with everything. So it's just completely different games. You know, I would tell you, just maybe I'm wrong, but I would stack my team up against any,
sure,
at any time.
The teams you play for.
The teams I've played for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we are. I don't know if it's been said. Well, I think we get the honor one of my teams. I don't want to say anything because I'm not sure. But
I want
to
know.
I think I'll get to see a lot of my teammates.
Are you going to guard McIntosh? What are you going to do about that?
Listen, I'll tell you what. And I'm not joking about this. I'll guard any one of them dudes. Let it be 20 years ago.
Let us know what hospital you're in.
Let it be 20 years ago. And Paris through whoever. I'll guard any one of them. Especially Wills. I guard Wills right now.
But he'll also be guarding you.
No,
how's that going to work out?
No, I can't dribble. I can jab, step, shoot, and that's it. Give me 2 weeks. I need 2 weeks to get in a little better shape.
I did get a scouting report on you playing ball here in the last couple of weeks.
Did you?
Yeah, it's pretty positive.
I appreciate
Could
that.
Pass a little more, they say. But
I started playing with our managers a couple of weeks ago. I was finally invited. And
They're very competitive.
Oh, it's great. They play almost every day. they do. Once school starts, it's a little bit less. But, yeah, I've jumped out there a couple of times, and I look forward to doing it again. It's been fun.
I told Dan Ryan the other day, he got to get some managers with some size. They may be good, but they're incredibly small.
Those are hard to find now.
Tall managers?
Yeah. We have good size for managers because they play each other down in the valley, of course. Our managers, and I'm almost positive about this, have never been beat by another managerial crew.
That's true.
At the tournament, but even during the season. Yeah, I think we played. So I know they went down and played at U of I. I know that I think they played Butler at one point. They might have played Iowa. I forget. But they'll play. They try to get games when we play opposing teams. TCU, I'm almost positive.
They won that one.
Yeah, they played at TCU.
Yeah, Tulsa.
They said Missouri State's going to be a problem by St. Louis.
No, heck no.
Yeah, he said they got some size. He said they got some experience.
They won't be managers here next year.
just saying, I'm out doing my work on the road, and I'm telling you, they think Missouri State's the manager to beat.
We just played them and beat them by 10 or whatever the other day at our place. They're apparently fearful of the rematch.
Yep.
All right. They got a good scouting report. Because that's 3-on-3.
Right.
And so they did say they had 3 good players, but we've got. See, our managers are awesome.
Well, that they are, and more than just the way they play basketball.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Hire them. If you're smart, you'll hire one of our managers.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yep.
We're going to take another break. We're going to welcome Senior Tony Wills from Indianapolis to the microphone.
Tony.
The Dan Muller Show brought to you by Miller Lite and by Country Financial Representative Steve Peterson and Melissa Eisenberg. We're back after this on WJBC and WJBC.com.
This is ISU head volleyball coach Melissa Myers, and you are listening to Sports Talk on the Voice of the Redbirds, WJBC and WJBC.com.
Welcome back. It's the Dan Muller Show, sponsored by Country Financial Rep Steve Peterson and Melissa Eisenberg, and by Miller Lite. Our engineer, Nick McClintock, has just dug up the national rankings for college Division I managers basketball. Number one is Clemson. They're trying to win a football championship tonight. They have the best basketball playing managers in the country. Number 10 in the country, Illinois State.
Oh, how about that?
Nick is now working on trying to find out the top 10 Division I coaches' radio shows.
Yeah, time not to waste his time. I mean, we're not even getting votes.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I'll check.
All right. Let's go to our player guest. He is the senior from Indianapolis, Tony Wills. Tony, a fine year, and you're a huge part of it. 3.5 years into your 4-year college career, there's not much time left. Is that something you think about much these days?
Yes, it's sad, but I'm just enjoy every moment.
And you guys have enjoyed most of your moments so far this season.
Yeah, your opponents haven't enjoyed you gardening, but I think everybody's enjoying it.
Hopefully you enjoy Mike Matthews' penetrating questions.
Well, he hasn't. In 3.5 years he hasn't, but this will probably be the final nail. You ready to go a little one-on-one?
Yeah.
All right. First thing that fires across your brain. Favorite thing about ISU?
The campus.
Best part of your game?
Defense.
Part of your game that you need to work on?
Offense. Shooting.
Your role model?
Coach Muller.
Did you just say that because I had that written here?
No.
First car you ever drove?
My mom's Chrysler van.
Successfully? Get it back in one piece?
No.
No. Assistant coach, most like Coach Muller?
Coach Yacklis.
Favorite part of practice?
Defense work.
Seriously?
Yes.
Worst part of practice?
Running when you lose.
Place in the world that you'd like to visit?
Puerto Rico.
Favorite fast food?
Popeyes.
Favorite NBA player?
Dwayne Wade.
Favorite dinner?
Steak.
Other than tonight at Hy-Vee.
Steak.
Coach Muller is always telling me to
do your job.
Favorite thing to do when you're relaxing?
Sleeping Landau.
Favorite thing to do? A favorite TV show to watch?
Prison Break.
You ever watch Cops?
No.
Cops Reloaded?
No, that's good stuff.
Okay, I'm going to throw some names at you now, and I want the first thing that flashes in your mind.
All right.
Mikhail McIntosh.
Loud.
Paris Lee.
Leader.
Phil Fane.
Funny.
Javaka Thompson.
Best winger.
Really?
Yes.
Who is our best defender?
Paris.
Oh, the hesitation gave it away. The best leaper on the team?
Phil.
Best dressed?
DeAndre Hawkins.
Worst dressed?
Me.
Who wins the shooting contest between you and Coach Oliver?
Me, easily.
Oh. One thing ISU fans would be surprised to know about Tony Wells.
Sometimes I watch a Lifetime.
What's your definition of sometimes? Are you a daily watcher?
No.
You tape it?
No, of course not. Sometimes when I'm bored.
Would you like to be on there?
No.
That's all I got for you, Tony.
Oh, that was well done, Tony.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yes. A lot better answers than questions, I'll give you that.
Tony, what's in store for you after Illinois State and after basketball, would you say?
I'm really not for sure yet. I'm actually just trying to, just focus on this season and just focus on the basketball season. I haven't really, looked into it yet. I know I have to do a senior year internship, throughout the whole summer. So, and I haven't started looking at that either. So, I'm not for sure yet.
The win at Indiana State was pretty meaningful to you?
Yes, because I haven't won there since I've been here. And then, it's actually good, to win in front of the family because that was the first time they actually came to a game. So, it felt really good.
How many family members and friends did you have there?
Family members, it was probably 15 to 20. And friends, most of my friends from high school go to Indiana State. So it was 10, 15 there for them too.
Did you consider Indiana State when you were in high school?
I didn't consider it. But they was looking at me really hard. But I knew, at the time, I didn't want to go to Indiana school.
You wanted to get out of the state?
Yes.
But not too far away from home?
No.
And so this was perfect?
Perfect.
And it's turned out that way?
Yeah, we regret it.
Yeah, well, we don't regret it either, Tony. It has been beautiful watching you play, watching you develop as a person and as a basketball player. You've got, for a guy who doesn't pile up a lot of impressive stats, you've got a lot of people who I think have learned how big a part you are of this team and how important you are to this team, and so I hope you're aware of that because Redbird fans love you, Tony Wills.
And a lot of people say, how do you play good defense? And I've heard a lot of people say, well, just come to a game and watch Tony Wills. Find the guy he's guarding, and he'll just kind of disappear. And I said, that's the definition of good defense is just watch Tony Wills.
He has taught Redbird fans how playing good defense and doing other fundamental things can, but not spectacular things, fundamental things can really make a huge difference. We congratulate you, Tony, on what you've done. And all we ask is that you keep it going here for another 20 games or so.
Thanks.
And I got one more question for you. How many career dunks for Tony Wells?
That's just not fair.
Oh, yeah.
Zero.
But I'm working on it. Is that going to change?
I'm working on
it. I've seen you in practice. I've seen you in warm-ups. You just haven't had the right moment?
Nah.
I read John Twerk's minutes before every game, and I think maybe I've missed one, and your name is yet to appear. So I'm looking forward to the first one.
All right. Now, I got you.
Give me one.
It's coming.
Okay. You got 20 games. I gave you plenty of notice. Just give me one.
Tony, thanks so much. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony.
Tony Wills, ladies and gentlemen, the senior out of Indianapolis, our player guest for this edition of the Dan Muller Show. We'll take another break, and we'll be back with more from the coach after this on WJBC and WJBC.com.
Live and local from the Nordeen Remodeling and Roofing and NordeenRemodeling.com studios, this is the voice of Central Illinois, WJBC and WJBC.com.
Welcome. Welcome back to the Dan Muller Show at the Market Grill at Hy-Vee, brought to you by Country Financial Reps Melissa Eisenberg and Steve Peterson, and by Miller Lite. Dan, we definitely enjoyed our conversation with Tony Wills. He's a classy guy.
He is a special person, and love him to death, and you know, talk about he doesn't regret making the decision. Well, I don't know where we'd be without him. So,
is there any way we can appeal with the NCAA to get him one more year?
There's a lot of guys I'd like to do that with. I don't think it will work, but we're going to enjoy the last months that we have with him.
You know, Tony, of course, known for his defense, but he shoots the ball pretty efficiently. Right. His points per attempt is barely below one, which is good enough, especially for what else he adds to his game.
Well, obviously, if you ask Tony or you look at the numbers, his three-point percentage is much lower than anticipated. And I 100%, not just a little bit of that, is due to the fact that his injury, you know, he started the season off rhythm, then confidence gets into it. And that's going to go up as we go on here. And his scoring really helps our team. I mean, two times at Indiana State, they go zone. And literally the first possession of each, Tony just nails him with the three. And they jump right back out of it. His floaters, his ability to, you know, get a steal and get out in the break. So Tony does a ton for our team and is a great, great, great teammate.
He is also the best on your team at assist-to-turnover ratio.
Yeah, he doesn't take chances. He knows his strengths and his weaknesses. And any great player, any player that's going to maximize their potential has great self-awareness and is going to play to strengths. And that's something Tony has always been very good at. But, you know, he'll have a lot of deflections that aren't in the scorer's box. He'll have a lot of things, hockey assists, as they call them. He'll do a ton of things that help her on a game night. And then what he does in the locker room and what he does in practice with his competitive spirit, you know, those are invaluable.
Southern Illinois is your foe on Wednesday night. The Salukis lost their conference opener at Bradley. Since then, they have looked very good.
Yeah, unbelievably impressive win at Missouri State this past weekend. And they've got a couple seniors playing like seniors in Rodriguez and O'Brien. Vincent, of course, is another senior. They've had an injury recently and haven't lost since. We don't know if Armand Fletcher is a leading scorer or second. I think he's
the leader.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, we don't know if he'll play against us. We'll prepare as if he were. So they're doing this without their leading scorer. So a credit to Barry Henson and what he's done with his team with some depth and guys stepping up. I'm sure it'll be a great crowd down there on Wednesday and should be a really exciting, fun game.
You know, when you have a guy hurt, like they have Fletcher hurt, it's obviously a disadvantage for them in the games in which he can't play. But as you prepare to play them, and you don't know whether you need to prepare against him or not, that makes it tough on you guys.
Well, it can be. You know, that happens in sports or athletics. And you just prepare, usually, if there's any chance. Most teams are just going to prepare as if they would play. You go to the scouting report. You know, most teams don't adjust what they do a great deal, whether a player's in or out. Unless that player dominates the ball, and they're going to run the same actions. They're just with different personnel. So our guys have been very good about that. We've had a few games that's been like that. And our guys understand it doesn't matter what the opponent does. It doesn't matter what their mindset is. We can only control ourselves. And going into the game on Wednesday, that's our goal.
When you're getting ready to play a team, and you're relying, of course, on whoever scouted that opponent, and you're picking out their weaknesses and you're picking out their strengths, are you more likely to try to exploit a weakness or to limit a strength?
Well, we always want to exploit a weakness if our team can exploit that weakness. I mean, certain teams have weaknesses or personnel have weaknesses, but unless your team can take advantage of those, it doesn't matter. And, you know, the deeper you get into the season, you know, the more your team understands your base defense and the more adjustments you can make if your guys are locked in, if you have experience and leadership. And if you can do those things, it helps. I mean, we've done things over the last three or four games, just small adjustments that have really thrown teams off defensively, but your players have to go out and execute. And but saying that, you have your base defense, your fundamentals that you can't change per game. So
a lot of it depends on, again, your personnel. Can your team adjust to take advantage of that? If they can, it doesn't matter if it's a weakness because you can't take advantage of it.
Right.
Our team's pretty we've got a lot of guys who do a lot of different things, and so we can usually we can exploit a lot of things, whether it's guys in the post, guys on the perimeter, defensively, rebounding, as we saw last game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a credit to our players, as I said, just being able to take a tweak, take an adjustment, and execute on game night.
But it's also a balance between exploiting a weakness, limiting a strength, playing a little differently, but still not changing what you do.
Right, because if you change your identity every game, you're going to have nothing. And so you've got to keep who you are with some small adjustments. We only have 2 days to prepare for each game. You've got to go out on game night, and you cannot be thinking. You know, if you're thinking, your feet slow down. You have to be out there playing free and react. And 2 days is enough. So we try to drill certain adjustments so they don't have to think about it. We do a lot of walkthrough. The deeper you get in the season, practice gets a lot shorter, you know, especially the last couple weeks. We had a day off Sunday, so today we went about an hour and a half. But we were going for about an hour, even 45 minutes some days. Can't work on a lot of things in that time. So it takes their minds a lot to walk through video to show them what they're going to see. And, again, just so much credit goes to our players because when we're in that film room or we're going over scouting reports, guys can be paying attention and they can't do. I mean, just like when they're in class or anything else. And to their credit, and we talk a lot about the importance of it, to their credit, they're really locked in those moments. And you see it on game day.
Game day is Wednesday. At least the first of the game days this coming week is Wednesday night in Carbondale. The Redbirds take on the Salukis of Southern Illinois. It's a 7 o'clock game. In case you're thinking about heading down to Carbondale and cheering on the Redbirds, we'll be on the air at 6 with coverage here on WJBC and WJBC.com. And then the next home game is Saturday night. Wichita State's Shockers will be at Redbird Arena. That game, too, starts at 7 p.m. Again, we're on the air at 6. This is the Dan Muller Show, brought to you by Miller Lite and by Country Financial Reps Melissa Eisenberg and Steve Peterson. We're going to take one more break, and we'll be back with more from Dan after this on WJBC and WJBC.com.
Hi, this is ISU head football coach Brock Spack, and you're listening to Sports Talk on the voice of the Redbirds, WJBC and WJBC.com.
It's Redbird basketball on the Dan Muller Show from the Hy-Vee Market Grill, brought to you by Miller Lite and Country Financial Representatives Melissa Eisenberg and Steve Peterson. One more quick reminder, a night with Doug Collins is coming up a week from Friday at the Doubletree by Hilton. Tickets are $100 per person. The deadline is this Friday, the 13th. Call either 438-8000, the Redbird ticket office number, or go to GoRedbirds.com. We're looking forward to that night, and that's the night before the Drake game. Doug will be honored at halftime, recognized at halftime for his induction into the National Collegiate Basketball Hall of Fame. That's also the day for Taste of Redbirds at Horton Fieldhouse, which starts at 4:30 and goes until 6:30, just before the 7 o'clock matchup with the Drake Bulldogs. Harris Lee scoring his 1,000th point. Was that last week or the week before? He now is the 42nd player to score at least 1,000, but he also now has 400 assists, and he is only the second player in Redbird history to couple 1,000 points with 400 assists. Quite an accomplishment, Dan.
Sure is. Who's the other?
The other is Ron Jones, of course, who is the guy who's ahead of him on the only guy who's ahead of him on the all-time assists list.
Indiana guy, I believe.
Is Ron Jones from Indiana?
From Indiana. Anyway. Harris has had an unbelievable career, and he's been obviously finished steals first, and got the assists and the points, and he gets a lot of rebounds these days too. I doubt he's in the tops of anything with rebounding, but he's done a great job. Competitor, leader, represents our programs and all the our program in all the right ways, and another guy we'd love to have back, but sure are enjoying him, you know, down the stretch here.
You mentioned rebounds. I noticed that he's been getting more, and so I did a little research. 4.1 is now his average compared with 2.7 last year. But in conference play, he's averaged 6.5 rebounds a game.
Yeah, he had the 10-1 game. He had 6 last game. He's doing a great job of chasing balls down. He's understanding the importance of it a little more. You know, again, just some feel, reading balls a little more. But he's doing a great job, and that's a very underrated thing for a point guard to be able to chase down rebounds. It's a huge thing for getting out the break with his defensive efficiency.
And, of course, his shooting, although it's not quite as torrid as it was at the start of the season, still 47% from three.
Exactly.
I don't know too many coaches who wouldn't take that.
No, like he dropped his head because he hasn't made a couple, but 47, I'll tell you, that's – I wish I could shoot it like that. He's doing great.
And he made two huge ones on Saturday.
Absolutely. Stopped the run twice, deep ones.
Well, we look forward to the game Wednesday night. The Salukis of Southern Illinois, the opponent. Dan, good luck in that one. We'll talk to you before the contest.
Yeah, we'll see everybody Saturday night in the Doug Collins event. Real quick, it's a great night to honor a true Redbird, and hopefully people can continue to get those tickets and show up for what will be a very, very exciting night on the 20th.
Again, Friday is the deadline, so get your tickets before then. That's the Dan Muller Show. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. Dick Ludke from Hy-Vee's Market Grill saying so long for now.
This is ISU head men's basketball coach Dan Muller. You're listening to the voice of all things Redbirds, AM 1230, WJBC, and WJBC.com.
The Dan Muller Show on the Country Financial Redbird Radio Network has been brought to you by Country Financial Representatives Steve Peterson and Melissa Eisenberg, Miller Lite, and your host, Hy-Vee Market Grill.
This is Illinois State men's basketball coach Dan Mullen.
This is Illinois State women's basketball coach Barb Smith, and you're listening to the voice of the Redbirds.
WJBC and WJBC.com.
This has been a production of WJBC Radio Sports.
This is Illinois State men's basketball coach Dan Muller, and this is the voice of the Redbirds.
The layup, good!
WJBC AM, Bloomington Normal, and WJBC.com, a Cumulus station.